The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. So you sang, and you did so sing because you know how great Jesus is, he who lives evermore, with death now having no dominion over him. You so sang because you know your Jesus to be trustworthy, both in what he says and what he does. Back then and now, he always does what he says. And what he says and does is always for you, including what you heard in the Holy Gospel today. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and that meant that the Passover of our Lord was about to begin, so that we could keep the feast, not in the old way, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You heard that Jesus entered the stunning, newly renovated temple court and saw there everything needed for the Passover of the Jews, which was at hand. Oxen, sheep, pigeons, and folks who could change your money into acceptable coins. And seeing all that, he did what? Fashioned a whip, a lash, a device for flogging, scourging, flagellation, torture. The kind of device which would be used on him before he was crowned with thorns and donned in that purple robe of mockery. And he used his whip, you heard, to drive them all, man and beast, out of his Father's house. A physical show of force. What your Lord did was not done in some spur-of-the-moment fit of rage. It was deliberate, calculated, premeditated, planned. He did something similar when he entered the house of one Jairus to give life to his dead 12-year-old daughter. When the mourners inside laughed in his face, he physically accosted them, women as well as men, and forced them, threw them all out of the place. There is a struggle to give life to the dead, to have words of everlasting life for you. The folks affected by his temple flogging and those who thought they ran the place asked Jesus for his credentials, asked him for a sign, a deed, a prophetic word. And he who has the words of everlasting life said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it." By which you heard he meant his body. The scourging of the temple would result in the scourging of his flesh. His passion had commenced already in John chapter 2. The sign which Jesus would give was the sign of his death and the incognito of his resurrection, which those who ran things would never get to see, which those who run things now still don't see, though they do see you here, singing to Jesus, marking yourself with the sign of his death, dying with his holy name on your last breath. Remember me. And they wonder what to make of it all. You and your 2 billion brothers and sisters who call on his name as well. And still they say, "What sign do you show?" And the answer is still the same. Still the cross, the infamous stake, the ignominious wood. You heard St. Paul speak of it as a stumbling block, folly, the foolishness of God, at best a joke. Though you're not laughing, you know it as the power and wisdom of God. Somewhere near the end of the first century, a teenager etched a crude piece of graffiti on a building overlooking the Forum in Rome. It depicted another teenager raising his hand in adoration to a cross upon which hung a donkey, an ass. And next to this scene were etched the words, "Alexandros worships his god." Thus the first known artistic rendition of the crucifixion of Jesus. A sarcastic piece of mockery, which nevertheless drove to the heart of the Christian claim that in the death of Jesus, God had given the world an entirely new kind of song to sing and a whole new way to live as well. It was utter folly to the graffitist, but not to Alexandros, whoever he was. Or you, who lift your eyes to the icon, which points to the altar, which delivers to you the sign and seal of God's love. Incognito, but no less real. Given, shed, alive for you, in you. That holy Jesus, on which you fix your gaze, told you that there are many rooms in his Father's house, and that he would go prepare one specially for you. But the Father's house for which his zeal consumed him, killed him, was not one of brick and stone, but his own flesh, scourged and laid out on the altar of wood. He is the Father's house for you. For his act of preparing a place for you, he said, would be accomplished by his coming to take you to himself, so that you and he would always be together, always in holy communion. And so it is here, as you open your mouth and your heart to receive him who comes to you in mercy and in peace, that those words of your favorite psalm really do ring true. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Jesus and you. In the holy name of Jesus.